Visit Plain Ridge Park Casino this spring for all the playoff hoops and hockey action and the return of baseball. They've got the biggest screens, the best food and drink, plus they're giving away Penn Cash bonuses and prizes to Penn Play Rewards members. Not a member? Join today by downloading and registering for the Penn Play app from the App Store. Unlock all the fun, including a chance to win up to $2,000 in Penn Cash. All this and more. Make Plain Ridge Park Casino your spring sports viewing headquarters. Must be 21 plus. Play it smart from the start. Live chat at GameSenseMA.com. Hope is here. 800-327-5050 or GamblingHelplineMA.org.
B-Pod Studios.
Now, for Toucher Rich. On 98.5, the Sports Hub.
Toward the center point. Keeps it in for Kucherov. Right circle shot blocked. Rebound Sergachev. Right circle. Kucherov shoots blocked. Point high slot. Shoot! Score! Score! Score!
Braden Point! Braden Point! Braden Point! The Lightning win it! They win into the fifth overtime! 3-2! And they lead the series 1-0.
That's all he did was turn and fired it from outside the circle, and it caught the net. I mean, that's all he did. You got to feel bad for the Columbus Blue Jackets. They really hung in there and played hard.
I had a piece of pizza. I'm not going to lie to you. It was delicious. It was about, 9 o'clock. I think I was getting hungry as the rest of the coaches, but I don't think the players are eating that. So, but anyway, that's what we did. We just waited it out.
Five of Sports Hub. It's Toucher and Rich. And how weird is this? We are less than 2 hours away from Stanley Cup playoff hockey with the Boston Bruins. What a weird night. Although once they postponed the game, it was enjoyable to me. I wanted that thing to go to like 10 overtimes. I didn't care. I thought that was fun to watch. And the way that it ended, we knew that if John Tortorella was on the losing side, then we would all get a treat. So Billy Jaffe, he was standing around for a while at a studio in Watertown, just kind of waiting for things to happen. He is, of course, a Nesson analyst and joins us on the Volkswagen Dealers Expert Hotline. What was it like just kind of hanging out and waiting for things to happen? How pissed did Dale get?
Dale had to do updates every half inning, so Barry and I came back and we ate our dinner, and we were watching the game. So it was, and at one point Barry and I kind of looked at each other. Barry's much nicer than I am, so he went in and checked on him. We all just made. I know this is a lame answer. We all made the best of it. Whatever. We're watching the game, and by the third overtime, we're all kind of laughing, and then we all sitting there like, this is going. This is going 4-5. It absolutely had that feel. And so you just wait around, and then we started getting those rumblings. Wait, you know what? This could be postponed. And I felt safety of the players, the quality of the ice, and the reality that the Bruins game could go until 1 or 2 in the morning, given a potential overtime. It wasn't the right thing. So the NHL did the right thing in postponing it.
Okay, so are you somebody after watching that? Because Milbury tweeted something out saying that, when there's a game that long, there should be a point where they go to like a 3-3. Yeah. What do you make of that? Of a game, when it reaches a playoff game,
stop it. I mean, not you. I'm saying, we're not going to 3-on-3 in overtime in a playoff game. I'll never say never, but please, dear God, hockey gods, don't go to a shootout ever in a playoff game. You know what? I don't watch soccer or European football or whatever that often. But when I do and a major game goes to a shootout, I don't care then. Or penalty kicks, I mean. I've seen World Cup stuff go to a penalty kicks, and I'm sorry. I don't get it. I don't get the vibe. No way in hockey. Not going to happen. I saw that tweet. No, Billy.
All right. Move on. Amen, Billy Jaffe. I am 100% on board with your point of view. So let's move on to the Bruins. And there are two schools of thought. One is they got swept in their round-robin games. They didn't look good against Columbus, so that's bad. But my contention is they were dominant for long periods of time against Washington, and they slowly got better over those four games. So that's good, and I actually feel very positive about this series coming up.
I feel positive, too, right here, right now, sitting in my car waiting to go get my second coffee before I get into the studio, in the sense that I'm going to give this team the hockey benefit of the doubt in that, you know, they did get better. They worked on things that the mindset, which, look, they didn't have anything to prove. You never disrespect the game. But they took, I believe Bruce Cassidy, knowing him for years, and the players that I spoke with, that they said, we're taking our game piece by piece, you know, facet by facet, and we're going to continue to develop it and get better. That's not to say we all wouldn't, and they included, they may not admit, wouldn't have minded winning one. But on the other hand, they understand that there was just nothing to play for. So I think that they're better than a lot. Look, they're underdogs in many media experts' minds going into the series. And I say, at the very least, good. Let them be the underdogs. Now that, in theory, takes a little pressure off of them right there. I don't think it's going to be an easy series. Who cares? It's not supposed to be. But I still feel good about this team.
Hey, Billy, the Bruins defense has had its struggles. How do you think they match up against the Aho line? Do they put that Bergeron line out there? Do they try the Corrali line? And what's happening with Chara? I know Charlie McAvoy's played better offensively, and he's been on the ice for a couple of goals given up. But overall, what can they do to be better against this Carolina team?
Well, first of all, I think McAvoy has been their best overall defenseman. Now, again, we're talking about these round-robin games, Joey. So, for what it's worth, hands down been their best defenseman. Yes, started getting involved more offensively over the course of the games. Good sign. You need him to be involved. We saw that first half to second half of his season last year. So we saw how good he can be once he gets going. With regard to Chara, no question that the big guy has definitely struggled at times with maybe some of the speed early on, with some of the positioning here and there because of the pace of some of the other guys. I don't think that they will put him or his pair out there regularly against the Aho line. They might do an offensive zone face-off here and there, but I think you will see more of Carlo and Krug. Carlo played a ton against the Aho line last year. I looked over my notes in my lineup book and stuff, and Carlo expected to play a lot against Aho and other top guys in last year in the playoffs. He saw an awful lot of that. Torrey Krug will get a lot of that too. That doesn't mean that that McAvoy and Zdeno won't see them here and there, but I don't think it'll be a heavy matchup or a full-time matchup at all. And the Aho Svechnikov-Teravina line is excellent. Do I see Bergeron? I see a combination. I got to think that the Corrali line will try to go against them at first. And if that's not going well, then maybe the Bergeron line, part and parcel, Joey, we'll see them. But on the other hand, who do you want? If you're Carolina, you want Jordan Staal going against Patrice Bergeron line. Well, if you're going to work that matchup, that frees up the Krejci and the Coyle line. If they're doing well, that frees them up to get what I think would be some very solid matchups in their favor.
Okay, so the moving of the game makes things physically tougher, obviously, for both teams. I mean, there's a potential that they could be playing 6 games in 9 days, I think, when I looked at the schedule. So that obviously might force Bruce Cassidy's hand as far as the goaltending, and he might have to make a decision. Obviously, he would rather choose Tuukka to play every game, but that almost seems like it may not be possible now. Do you believe that we're going to see Halak play one of these games just the way that the schedule's falling now?
I believe that it makes it a lot more likable or possible. But, you know, if Tuukka gets into a role and his legs and his hip flexors, the things that you worry about in goaltenders that haven't played a ton in 5 months are okay, then yeah, they'll run or skate with him. But if the series is going well, here or there, whatever, to put Jaro Halakin in a normal rotation thing wouldn't be unheard of, especially in this year. Last year it would have been, Rich, because of the obvious. Tuukka was phenomenal, but the schedule played out. I would say if I was a betting man, that there would be more likely, yes, like to your first premise, that Jaro Halak would see some action here. Just like I believe that Mrazek and Reimer will both play for the Carolina Hurricanes.
Wow. In your opinion, is Halak still better than Mrazek?
I think he's at times situationally, yeah, I think he's better than Mrazek. I think Mrazek had a nice series against the Rangers. One thing that, and this is no disrespect to the Rangers, I'm a fan of their coaches and their young team, but they're nowhere near as good as the Bruins. You know, they have a star in Panarin and Zibanejad, but overall they're not as good. So Mrazek made some 10 bell saves. He didn't face the chances that in theory, and I'm saying in hockey theory, that Mrazek should see from the Bruins coming up here. I think Halak has that mental makeup that is excellent, that makes him has been a really, really good, you know, actually better than good, a great goalie for the Bruins in his short time here.
All right, so you brought up the Rangers, so that made me think. The NHL draft lottery was fixed, right? How did the Rangers wind up with the number one pick? They had twice as many points as Detroit, who picks fourth. They wanted Lafreniere to go to New York.
Hold on.
Come on now.
Hold on. Okay. You're doing the radio thing.
No. I sat there and I'm like, you've got to be kidding me. He winds up with the Rangers?
Every team has a 12.5% chance. It was an equal chance.
Fixed.
Of those eight teams that were in the hopper, whatever you want, the ping pong ball hopper, each of them had a 12.5% chance. I'm not going to deny, and I said this publicly before too, it works out well for the league and for the kid to go to a place like the New York Rangers.
Frozen envelopes. Slightly weighted ping pong balls, Billy. It's obvious.
Actually, it would be lighter. It would be lighter, right? I think because it would.
I'm saying all the other seven were slightly weighted.
Did you see the GIF out there in social media or whatever? I don't. Is it a meme or a GIF? I never get those things right. It showed that the Toronto Maple Leafs ping pong ball bobbled around on the inside right before it dropped, and then the Rangers one shot up.
Yeah,
it was perfect.
I saw it. Sure. Yeah.
it's definitely perfect. Oh, Wallach, I love you early in the morning. You're a conspiracy theorist all the way. Good job.
Well,
I think it's a fixes well, listen, in. It's clear. You know.
Billy, I'm sure that you're probably either on your almost at Nesson or you're there. So make sure you tell Dale that Wallach says hello.
Please.
And we will be looking forward to watching it. This is great. I mean, for us, it's fantastic. We get off the air, turn on the TV. We're ready to go. Get to watch the game. Yep. This should be interesting. I'm looking forward to it. And you know what? I'm glad it's this morning and not last night.
You're right. It should be. A couple of quick little things. Players, I know, had a harder time getting to sleep last night, given how they did everything to get up for a late start. And then getting down was tough for some of them. Pre-game meal started at 7 at the hotel. Some guys had it as late as 8:15, but they're all at the rink by 8:45 to 9. The first period will be very interesting because these guys are used to practicing at this time, not playing games in the playoffs. So keep an eye on the first period. Do we see a chess match, or can one team rev it up and get a big lead, or at least get control of the game? That's what I'm going to be looking for.
All right, Billy, we'll see you in just a little bit. And
see you, Billy.
All right, see you, man. We'll talk to you soon. Yeah, I mean, I was thinking about that. You know, just do you know what kind of mental game you have to go through to get yourself amped for game one of the Stanley Cup playoffs, and then you have to turn yourself off again just so you can get some sleep?
Were they sniffing salts before the game last night, and then they got to do it all over again?
And then, like, how do you put yourself to sleep and wake right back up and be able to do it? And let me think. They probably went to bed, like, around – I don't know, 12:30 or so, yeah, when they were finally able to come down. And, yeah, I mean, I guess 7 hours of sleep is fine.
I wonder if Billy was hinting at a slow first period there. Maybe we take the under?
Hey, I love hockey, and this is crazy, but endless lockout, play hockey maybe, and all the Bruins fans are very angry, so endless lockout, play hockey maybe.
Another Stanley Cup playoffs. Carrying it right here. We'll hear Judd Surratt, Bob Beers. Well, that should be a fantastic day of sitting on your ass and watching television.
They're both here. That's really strange.
Be great. I'm looking forward to it. You know, yesterday I was curious, John and Joe. We were talking about, you know, college football in jeopardy. how our man Paul Feinbaum's been doing. Mm. And I was thinking about him. As a matter of fact, I even, like, their producer is a fan of our show, and he reaches out every once in a while whenever we talk about him. And I was, if you don't know Paul Feinbaum, Paul Feinbaum's obviously a guy who's just, he's got the greatest job in the world. He just opens up the phones, and all of these people from Alabama and Mississippi call in.
B-O-B-O-B, Bob on bivouac on a bike.
That's right. That's right. They call in and they yell about stuff. Okay. So that's the time. I think he said, I love Bama people.
Okay.
All right. And they are usually scream at each other, and they're angry rednecks, or they just want to rant. There was one guy who was actually dying who wanted to call. He was in the ambulance and wanted to call Paul Feinbaum while he was in the... And they usually, most of the calls start like this.
Hey, Paul. Man, I love you.
Sorry, man. So I checked in and I wanted to find out what they're talking about. Now, I wasn't able to find something from like the past week, but I did find something from about a week and a half ago. Now, remember, the college football season's kind of been up in the air, even, you know, for like the last month. Nobody really knew what was going to happen. There had been whispers about it possibly, you know, being canceled or maybe not. Not obviously as loud as right now. But if you want to know what people are saying on the Paul Feinbaum show recently, here's a little just jump in and let's take a listen to what happened.
Rick is up next in Alabama. Hey, Rick, nice of you to call.
Hey, Paul, is that you?
That is Paul here. Yes.
Hey, Paul, how you doing today, man?
We are doing well. Thank you for calling.
Yeah, but this is my question right here, Paul. Listen, man, it's a toughie.
Okay.
If you could take anybody in the world from history out to dinner, who would you choose?
Oh my goodness.
Live or dead.
Oh, wow. Well, that makes it even more interesting. John Lennon would be fascinating. What about you, Rick?
Wait, stop. Who's he going to say?
Where's he from?
Alabama.
Oh, he's Bear Bryant.
You think Bear Bryant?
I think Bear Bryant.
Nick Saban.
Okay.
You think Nick Saban? Okay, let's take a listen.
What about you, Rick?
Well, I got to be honest with y'all, probably Dale Earnhardt Sr.
Okay.
Way off.
Dale Earnhardt, why not? Me and the Intimidator, we go to Sonic, sit in the car together, kind of like Joe when he took his friend to the Kowloon to go watch the Rocky movie.
Probably Dale Earnhardt Sr.
Senior, not yeah. Junior. Yeah. Senior. Yeah. Senior. All right. So why would you take Dale Earnhardt out to dinner?
Probably Dale Earnhardt Sr.
Well, I tell you what, I had the occasion to spend some time with Dale Earnhardt Sr. about 20 years ago. And
I've met him about four times. I don't think he likes me. He about stole my wife, so we about got into it.
I'm sure
you've met four times, and I'm sure he almost stole your wife, which I have a And by met four times, you were in the stands at one of his races, potentially. And by stole your wife wouldn't shut up about how hot he was on the way home.
He about stole my wife, so we about got into it.
Yeah, that's right. All right, let's hear this story. How did you steal? How did you almost steal your wife?
Dale Senior almost stole your wife.
Dale Junior.
Oh, Dale Junior. Would you mind explaining how that happened?
Well, we was in the pits and he was looking at her butt, and I told him to quit looking at my wife the wrong way. He kept on doing it. I can't take her to the racetrack no more, Paul. I take her up to the racetrack. She acts like she can't. She ain't got no sense. She don't know what to do. She wants these drivers. And then, you know, I got her.
So were you on his pit crew?
No. I'm a semi-professional race car driver.
Okay, here we go. So up here we have semi-professional hockey players that always call this. Hey, listen, I'm a semi-professional. Let me tell you something about hockey. Down in Paul Feinbaum country, I'm a semi-professional race car driver. I'm in the pits all the time. They just let us, you know, once you earn that right to be a semi-professional driver, you can just walk anywhere you want to in Talladega. They just give you all access passes if you're semi-professional.
I mean, semi-professional,
and you bring your lady.
Right,
and,
okay.
Look at her. She ain't got no sense showing that those sweet hams jammed in them pants, them tight jeans. She ain't got no sense with these drivers. And, oh, he, you know, them Daisy Dukes, he just head keeps playing. Oh, my God. This is a dude. Oh, by the way, this why he wants to go out with the father of the guy who was looking at her ass, I'm not quite sure where all that came from. But this is a guy who obviously lives with a woman who is obsessed with drivers. And yeah, it's pissing him off. Like, oh, they're super hot. And it's like, yeah, they're all hot for my wife. No. No, you are. All she can do is, you know what? She puts that poster of Dale Jr. right over the bed. Keeps an eye on that sucker. Kind of like Mary's aunt who had a picture of Tom Selleck over her bed. Which,
well,
is
hey,
great.
Hey, there's nothing that's wrong real. With that guy. There's nothing wrong with Tom Selleck. Come on, he's a man.
Right over the bed. It
great,
was a picture of
great
Tom Selleck.
Tuft of hair. Hey, yes,
listen, the guy. He is a blue blood. All right, let's let it play.
No, I'm a semi-professional race car driver.
Okay.
And an amateur tattoo artist.
So your wife was in the pits. For those who don't know, that's where you. So and Dale Jr. was eyeing her. Would that be fair?
He was doing more than eyeing.
So what did you say to Dale?
I said, "Listen here, Dale. I don't want to have to whip you. I love your daddy, but let me tell you something, boy."
He would do more than I. Oh, man. He would assault her sexually. What is he talking about?
Can you repeat? Can you play that again? I got to hear that.
I got, first of all, that might be the line of the year. I'm saying, I'm a semi-professional driver and an amateur tattoo artist.
Yeah.
I don't even know. Okay. I don't even remember. I don't want you to rewind it that far. But
I just,
right,
would love to know where he met his wife.
Yeah.
I want to know where he met her.
He did more than like what? Like, what did he do? Did he grab her? Like, what are you talking about? All right, let me hear this.
I said, "Listen here, Dale. I don't want to have to whip you. I love your daddy, but let me tell you something, boy. My wife is my property, and that's that."
So you threatened to beat up Dale Earnhardt Jr.?
Yeah, and you know what he did?
No, what'd he do?
He didn't do nothing, Paul. He matter of fact, he gave me a gift card for Waffle House. and then me and my wife went up there.
Oh, that's great. That's great audio.
He respected the game so much, he whipped right into his wallet where he always carries a gift card for Waffle House when he's in the pits while he's racing. You know what? He just took off his whole entire suit and said, "Oops, I left my wallet in the middle of this. I was just about to race. But damn it, I've got my wallet and I've got this Waffle House guy. I never race without my lucky Waffle House gift card." And he whips it out and goes, "Dude, I'm so sorry. Will you please forgive me for borderline sexually assaulting your wife? Because apparently it was more than just looking at her. Please, let me pay you off with this waffle. Let me pay you off with waffles."
The guy's like, "That's cool. I'll do that."
Like, "Oh,
cool.
Waffle House. Thanks,
like,
man."
"Well, hell yeah.
It's worse than..."
"Hey, man, you do all you want as long as I get him scattered, smothered, and covered. Hell yeah. Looks like I'm the one who made out good in the end."
Matter of fact, he gave me a gift card for Waffle House.
Yeah. Well, good for you. That's fantastic.
Yeah, that's great. Oh, sweet. I swear to God, Feinbaum's got the... This dude is just the best.
I miss it. Oh, you know what? I didn't even realize I had missed it until now. Feinbaum, this is the sweet spot for Feinbaum because he ordinarily has people calling up telling, "I can't believe Saban kicked there," or, you know, "We're going to beat Auburn's ass this weekend." Mm. Now everyone's angry about everything.
Yeah.
You know, now you take college football away, it's, you know, the door's wide open for all this stuff. All of the, you know, "He sexually assaulted my wife." That stuff.
All right, we're gonna get Feinbaum on. He's, as a matter of fact, I've been talking to his producer. We're gonna get him on. I mean, he's got the. He's my. It's like there's no other show that just. I'm just jealous of. He can just, and Finebaum plays it so well. He just lets these guys talk. He just sits back and he realizes that he's getting calls from the armpits of everywhere in Mississippi and Alabama, and they're all yelling at each other. And it might be the easiest gig in all of entertainment, but he knows how to handle it. You just let them go, and God bless Paul Finebaum.
Hey, Rich,
by the way, I'm feeling, yeah.
I was going to say, maybe we can do a mashup, but does that guy kind of sound like the force my cut my beard and force me to eat it a little bit?
Mm. It does sound like that. By the way, somebody said he gave me a Waffle House gift card as the best plot twist since The Sixth Sense.
Matter of fact, he gave me a gift card for Waffle House.
I'm the big scary man guy. Put a couple biscuits in the basket. They went top shelf where mama keeps the peanut butter and where I hide the pornos.
Here we go. It's Tuga time. It's Tuga time. It's Tuga time. It's Tuga. 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 Tuga time. It's Tuga time. It's Tuga time. It's Tuga. 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 Tuga.
I'm going to be so hungover at work tomorrow. I'm not going to do anything.
Now it's time to get to the stuff that we couldn't get to. It's the stack.
Well, this is weird, but for us, it's fantastic. We are 45 minutes away from the pregame on 98.5 The Sports Hub for your Boston Bruins, Game 1 of the Stanley Cup playoffs. And Bob Beers, Judd Surratt, and you're going to get a little bit of Hardy and Bertrand for about 30 minutes, and then they will toss it to those guys, and you're going to actually hear real playoff hockey at 11 a.m.
Yeah.
Now, Joe Murray, by the way, real quick, you have a sponsor, isn't that correct?
Yes, I do. The stack is brought to us by Window Nation. It's Window Nation's buy two, get two free sale. No down payments, no payments, and 0% financing for 12 full months. Check them out at windownation.com.
Now, Joe Murray, yesterday I had some money on the game, and the place in which I had placed, I think it was $150, was that the Bruins would win by over two goals or more.
Yep.
And you said that because of the change of the time and the rescheduling and everything, all of the bets have been blown up, and there's a whole new spreadsheet, and which makes sense, because who knows if you're going to get the same quality of hockey at an 8 o'clock game than you would get at 11 o'clock in the morning with, you know, the lack of sleep and all of that stuff. So give me some odds. What do we got now? What are these fresh odds that have just been released for the 11 o'clock game?
All right, I have all these according to DraftKings. So yesterday you got a goal and a half, the plus line at plus 190. Well, it's now plus 200. So if you want that plus 200 at a goal and a half, you earned yourself an extra $10 there. So right now the Bruins are a slight favorite at minus 132 to win the game.
Okay.
And if you like Carolina, they're plus 112. The total goals, 5.5 in the game.
Ooh, they think it's going to be some sloppy play, or what's the deal? Like five and a half, you said?
That was the same as last night, though, wasn't it?
Same as last night.
Oh, was it? Oh, okay. Five and a half, okay.
In most of these games have been going under, man. But I don't know. Yeah. Do you feel like the Bruins got to get... I'm worried about a matinee game today. I don't know about you guys. I never feel good about the Bruins playing a matinee game.
Why?
They don't play well. They start slow. I mean, at least, I know they're
in a bubble. They got to play well. I mean, that's the thing, is that this game, and I know it's weird because they had to turn it off and turn it back on again.
Motivation's a little different from a random Saturday afternoon at 1 in, say, March, as opposed to game one of the playoffs where you have something to prove.
You know what? I'm confident. I'm confident in the Bruins. I don't know which bet I want to take, whether it's the over 5.5 or whether it's that they're going to win by two goals or more.
So I actually have a few others that were, I thought were very interesting.
Okay.
There are player props today. Either the first goal, last goal, or will they score a goal? David Pastrnak plus 112. Patrice Bergeron plus 170. That's just for them to score a goal in the game. Brad Marchand, plus 205. The other ones are Sebastian Aho, obviously. He's plus 175. And Venchnikov? He's plus 215.
You know what? I am so confident in the Bruins that I'm going to still take the over-under goal and a half.
Plus 200, baby.
That the Bruins will win by two or more goals. That's what I'm betting on, right? That the
Bruins will. 150 would get you 300 bills.
Let's put a dinghy on it. Let's do it.
Boom.
I have a feeling that I'm taking Tuca and Krejci and Marchand's and Cassidy's words for it that this whole buildup meant nothing and that they are ready to roll. So I am going to put money on that one. Put money where my take is. So there you go. So let's do that. Are you going to be betting on this, Joe Murray, master better?
Now that I'm looking through here, there's some interesting stuff here, but there's a game prop. Will there be a goal scored in the first 10 minutes of the game? No. I don't know why, but that one seems very interesting to me.
Is it the favorite that nobody will score?
Jaffe thinks
the first the period's going to suck.
So that's what I mean. So if you bet no goals first 10 minutes, 110 gets you 100. So it's basically.
I don't like betting on that. Like that's not a fun bet. to me that's just not worth it. I like betting on things that are in my rooted interest. You know, like I hate betting against teams I like. So I want to put my money this way. I don't want to bet for boredom. You know what
I thought was interesting about today? You know how they had players unfit to practice yesterday.
Yep.
Like how did that all transition to today? Like were guys tested today or anything like that? I'm just curious how it all worked out.
Like, what do you mean? Like, who's not on that list that was yesterday?
Yeah, like, we know that Tuca and Pastrnak Bergeron. Was it Bergeron? Pastrnak.
Tuca and Pastrnak were two days ago.
Yeah.
Now, yesterday, they were fine to play.
Yes.
Yeah.
And today, too, like, there's no testing, no nothing. They just show up and play?
Well, I mean, if they were fine last night, why would they not be fine now?
I don't know. I'm literally asking. I have no clue.
I think it's just that they're fine. I mean, they'll probably test them again, but I don't think that matters. I mean, if they went straight back to the hotel, I'm sure that I don't know. All I know is that it doesn't seem like there'd be much of a difference between last night and tonight. All right, so there you go. That's my bet. I'm putting it on that one. You are not confident to put any money on any of the stuff today, Joe Murray?
I like the Bruins to win the series. I already bet it at -140.
Okay, that's right. Okay, to win the entire series. All right, well, that's good. All right, well, Adrian Wojnarowski, speaking of all things sports bubbles, he just tweeted out, I guess a memo went out to all of the teams regarding any kind of guests that can show up after the first round of the playoffs. So, as you know, no one is allowed right now, but when there's less teams, you know, of course, the teams that don't make the playoffs, they're going to be gone. And then after the first round is over and you just have the teams that are left, they are going to start letting a limited amount of friends and family show up, but there are guidelines and they're pretty great. So he put out there, he said the guidelines on guests starting off the first round per sources, 4 guests per player, but can be exceeded for children. Okay, so if you have a bunch of kids, you can do that. Guests can travel on team charters following testing, and guests will be allowed to attend the games. Players will be allowed to bring in family and, quote, established long-standing personal friends into the bubble.
What does that mean?
It says, I'll tell you exactly what it means. It says that each player is allowed 1 ticket per playoff game for a guest, plus an additional admission for a child. And then they said, here's who isn't eligible to come into the bubble as a guest. You know, you wanted that clarified? Quote, any individual the player has not previously met in person or with whom the player has had limited in-person interactions. For example, known by the player only through social media or an intermediary, which means if you meet a hot chick on Instagram, you cannot invite her into the bubble. Or as an intermediary, maybe that would be a pimp bringing somebody in. So this is pretty fantastic. Like you, and I don't know how you establish that you've known this person for a while. Like, you have to show photos of you with your arms around them or, you know, fishing together. I'm not quite sure how you would establish that and they wouldn't just take your word. But good for the NBA just saying, all right, we understand that when this whole thing started, there was this girl who apparently was invited by, who was it? Oladipo? Is that who it was?
I don't know if it was Oladipo. Was it Oladipo?
Someone got called out.
It was Donovan Mitchell who got called out.
Oh, Donovan Mitchell. It wasn't Oladipo. That's right. It was Donovan Mitchell. They got called out. It's this, like, Instagram model. And they're like, all right, getting ready to blow up the whole thing already. So that's going to be interesting. After the first round, friends are going to be allowed in. And you know our the guy that we had on the show, the person who's essentially responsible for the NBA playing at Disney, Keith Smith. Remember, he was a guy that worked at Disney and also wrote for Yahoo.
Yeah.
He ended up tweeting something out. He said, "From experience, I can tell you that babies have been born on Walt Disney World property, and a world-class women and children's hospital is very nearby in downtown Orlando, just in case any Celtics player is having a child during the playoffs and wanted to know that information." I thought that was a nice little thing towards Gordon Hayward.
Gordon Hayward, I was going to say Gordon Hayward.
No, that was like, Gordon, please don't go home. Bring your wife down.
Right, they can come here.
Yeah,
and maybe have the baby
here in Orlando. By the way,
you notice he's playing a lot better at being away from the family. Just,
I think everyone is. Like, I'm telling you, there's something about how there's nothing but basketball. Once you're down there, I think the quality's going to drop once the family show up, to be quite honest. Because you're not going to be able, you're in this tiny little room. You're not going to be able to escape them. Your head's going to be in different places. Now it's all about, and the thing is too, is that teams that like are embarrassed by other ones, they're staying in the same hotel together, so they have to see each other, so the anger's there, because you know that Devin Booker's like on this, like, you know, and what's his name, Dame Lillard, more than anybody, like, he's hell bent on revenge right now.
He's been
great, and he's been fantastic.
I can't wait till they play the Lakers in the first round. I want to see how
they're
going to
push them. That's
the idea. And by the way, Gordon, I don't know about Gordon Hayward. Gordon Hayward was playing pretty well before things stopped.
But he's
too.
Got all that Fortnite time now.
Ah, sure.
I have a weird feeling there, if the Celtics are rolling, like, let's say they make it to the Eastern Conference Finals, and they look great through all of it. That's going to be a weird soul-searching moment. And no one would fault Gordon Hayward, or no one should fault Gordon Hayward if he leaves. But that's going to be something that is going to be a tough decision for him. Like, if you're right there and he's one of the reasons, and then he decides that he has to leave, because you can't just leave and come back. We know this. You have to quarantine, and you could miss almost an entire round. That's going to be a tough, tough decision for him. And I wonder if there are discussions that he's having with his wife about, hey, maybe if this happens, you can come down here. Although traveling when you're pregnant, I don't think you're allowed to fly when you're,
I was just
like,
going to say, when you're that close, not a chance.
Yeah, so who knows? But I mean, but that's a tough decision to make if you're in the middle of all of it. And no one would fault him, or no one should fault him if he leaves. But then again, you know, I don't know. It'd be tough to walk away.
Visit Plain Ridge Park Casino this spring for all the playoff hoops and hockey action and the return of baseball. They've got the biggest screens, the best food and drink, plus they're giving away Penn cash bonuses and prizes to Penn Play Rewards members. Not a member? Join today by downloading and registering for the Penn Play app from the App Store. Unlock all the fun, including a chance to win up to $2,000 in Penn cash. All this and more. Make Plain Ridge Park Casino your spring sports viewing headquarters. Must be 21 plus. Play it smart from the start. Live chat at GameSenseMA.com. Hope is here. 800-327-5050 or gambling help. LineMA.org.
It's playoff time in the NBA and NHL. Baseball's in full swing, and FanDuel is your place to bet on every game. Right now, brand new customers get $150 in bonus bets guaranteed. $150, win or lose. Bet on everything from slap shots to home runs to slam dunks, and all on an app that's safe, secure, and easy to use. I don't know what you're waiting for. Go to FanDuel.com/Hardy. Make your first bet an automatic win with FanDuel, America's number one sportsbook.
21 plus and present in Massachusetts. First online real money wager only. $10 first deposit required. Bonus issued as non-withdrawable bonus bets that expire 7 days after receipt. See terms at sportsbook.fanduel.com. Hope is here. Gambling helpline ma.org or call 800-327-5050 for 24/7 support. Play it smart from the start. GameSenseMA.com or call 1-800-GAM-1234.
Enjoy all your favorite sports like never before at BetMGM. Sign up using code WBZMASS and receive up to $1,000 back in bonus bets if you don't win your first bet. Visit BetMGM.com for terms and conditions.
21 years of age or older to wager. Massachusetts only. New customer offer. All promotions are subject to qualification and eligibility requirements. Rewards issued as non-withdrawable bonus bets. Bonus bets expire 7 days from issuance. Play it smart from the start with GameSense. GameSenseMA.com. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-327-5050 or visit GamblingHelplineMA.org in partnership with MGM Springfield.